Welcome to Table Talks with Kay Woodward. Married for more than 43 years, Kay and her husband Galen have three married sons, nine grandchildren, and are longtime pastors in Albuquerque, New Mexico. With the recent release of her new cookbook, which is filled with treasured recipes and stories, she's excited to bring you into her world of faith and family. So, take a seat at the table with Kay as she welcomes special guests from varied backgrounds and stages of life to dive into relevant and important topics of today. Please enjoy today's episode.
Today, I'm joined by Julie Richard. She and her husband, Mac, are pastors of Lake Hills Church in Austin, Texas. She's an amazing speaker, full of humor and joy. She's also the founder of Fearless Mom. She loves her husband, her church, her kids, and Christmas. Stay tuned. Well, welcome, Julie Richard. I am so excited to have you join me today on Table Talks. We've been working on planning this talk for months now, and you're so popular. I have to wait like 3 months to get you to record the show.
It is not popularity. It is because I was out of town or, as you know, our new puppy had some health issues. So everything in my life was on pause because of her health issues.
I mean, it was like 3 months ago and I'm like, she can record when? That's like, I'm going to be 63 by then. I am. I had a birthday last week. But anyway, this is Julie Richard. And I just mentioned she and her husband, Mac, they pastor Lake Hills Church in Austin, Texas. But and we mentioned she's got two grown children that are both married now. You did that very quickly. They got married in the same, felt like a year apart, pretty much. And you, Julie, you are truly the most joyful, witty, genuine person I think I've ever met. Literally, when I get in your presence, and I am not saying this to fluff you, but just getting in the room with you or getting on this Zoom or on a phone call, you make me so just happy. You lift the spirit of the room that you walk in. And that is such an art. It's a gift. Well,
I take that as a huge compliment from you because I do. I truly feel the same about you. When I learn you're going to be at an event where I'm going to be, or if I know you're coming to a lunch where you're going to be, I'm going to try to sit by you. It's possible that our sense of humor are similar.
We're tad naughty. We always are talking when we shouldn't be. But I just honestly, when I met you and I'm thinking, well, I know when I really connected with you, Dustin and Mandy just got married. So it's about 11, 12 years ago now that I really began to know who you were. And we were getting ready to go on a missions trip somewhere. And Haiti or Guatemala, I can't remember. But I've been connected with you for that long now. And I've been, so first of all, I just have to ask first. I mean, I think I know the answer to this, but do you try to be funny? Seriously. Or are you just funny? Where does your humor come from? And I mean, your whole family is kind of like funny, but where did you get this? Who is funny in your family, in your DNA?
That is a funny question to ask. Before I start, I want to say thanks for having me. I love what you're doing with Table Talks. Your family is just a little bit ahead of where ours is. So I watch you as a mother, as a mother-in-law, as a grandmother, hashtag goals. So thanks so much for having me. So funny, where do we get that? It is definitely in our family, for sure. My parents are both funny, even though my mom would say she's not. My dad would say he is. Then even my, you know, great aunt, you know, my first cousin, Ed Young, who is hilarious. And our uncle, it's fine. I don't know. We just, you know what? I think in my family, my immediate family, it's in my parents and my two sisters, it was survival. Wow. There was a lot of laughter and quick wit. My dad has a very quick wit. And so it's survival in a house like that. But there's so much joy and it brings levity to situations. And then truly, there are three of us. I'm the middle of three girls. My sister is the funny one. Truly, my younger sister is hilarious and can get away. You think we're naughty? She's naughty and in a very funny way.
You know, Does your family always think you're funny? Because people will tell me when I speak sometimes that I don't try to be funny. If I tried to tell you a joke, it would fall flat. I can't get a punchline. I can't do it, but it comes out of my mouth. But my family, they kind of look at me like, well, that wasn't funny. But everybody else is going, ah! And my family's like,
oh, please. I mean, okay, so when Joe went off to college, so we had been empty nesters for just a short time, and Emily was home for, I don't know, a holiday, a vacation, a long weekend or something. And she said, okay, guys, I just need to tell you something, because I feel like since no one else is here, I feel like I should tell you, you guys are not as funny as you think you are.
That's awesome.
We just get so tickled with each other. Mac and I do. We think we're hilarious. Our texts back and forth, our just around the house. We just think we just giggle all the time. And
she's like, we're not.
Yeah. She's like, I mean, I love y'all and I think you're amazing, but I just feel like I need to tell you, you're not as funny as y'all think you are. I'm glad that you enjoy each other, but I feel like you should know that.
I think that I've been wanting to ask you that for months. Does your family think you're funny? Because I look out in an audience and there are people laughing, and I look over on the front row if I'm speaking at our church, and my family's kind of going.
So, oh, yeah. Mac thinks I'm hilarious.
See, that's just so awesome.
Mac thinks I'm hilarious, but really, I think the kids sometimes they just think like, oh, bless their hearts.
That's their heart. And the older you and Mac get, because y'all are probably 10 years behind Galen and I with your age. I don't know how old you are, but
no, not quite. I'm 55 and okay. Mac is 58.
But 10 years, pretty much. So they're going to think it more as you the decade are going to go. They look at us like, oh, look at them try to navigate those stairs or whatever. I see them. I see it. And I think they're going to be ours soon. I could go on. I've got that you and I, one of these days we'll sit on a panel somewhere. I feel it. And we'll just be able to go for 30 minutes. And we don't need a moderator. We don't need someone to ask a question. And,
you know, panels are trouble for me because it's like a, you know, off script, which hello, I live for off script, but I do think that laughter is underrated and that people don't laugh enough. And there's so much scripture about laughter, and I could go on and on. So I just feel like, and I'm okay with my kids. I've just decided, my mom used to say this. She's like, I'm okay. I know y'all are laughing at me and not with me.
It's okay.
And that's okay because y'all are laughing. So
podcast today, honestly, because of everything you just said, you just set this up perfectly because I know this about you in the over a decade I've known you, that your family laughs a lot. I've been in a just lunch with your son, Joe. I've been at other things, and I know that I know what your family is because I hear your kids talk about it too. And your daughter's ministry, she does now. But all that to say, you prioritize joy and laughter and lightheartedness in your home. I mean, I know that it's a choice that, and you guys have fine-tuned that. It is a skill, I do believe.
You have to work at it. I do think so.
Because my nature, honestly, by nature, I don't like rules for me. I like them for everyone else.
Yes.
I'm rooting for them. And I want everybody to get in line. So I have to work at letting things go to be joyful. So, you know, I think because of this, because you've navigated now children, you've, you know, raised kids and now they're married and you have adult children outside your home, but you started a community, really, I would say ministry, but it really is an amazing community called Fearless Moms. And it's just a ministry for Lake Hills Church. I mean, you've started this ministry for the young moms, probably, or moms in your church, because there's not a lot of information. I mean, there's written information, but you just take it a whole nother level. And I want to just tell us real quick, and we're going to talk questions, but you can find lots about Fearless Moms. You can go on YouTube and find her, Julie's past teachings and her philosophy. And I'm begging her to write a book. I'm saying it on this podcast. I'm telling her, write a book, because y'all, you're going to hear this. You're going to not want her to stop talking once she starts. But tell us about Fearless Moms.
So Fearless Mom started because I love children. I love being around children. My favorite room, you know, you mentioned my husband's a pastor. My favorite room on campus is the room with the kindergarten, first and second graders. That's my heart. I love teaching them about Jesus. And I say, you know, I mean, who wouldn't want to teach that age? When I sing, they think I sound like Whitney Houston. It's the best for your self-esteem. They think I'm amazing. And if I'm gone a week, I was in with the adults, you know, Easter Sunday. So I came back the next week and little ones run up to you and go, where were you last time? You know, they just love you so much. So I love children. That's my real heart and my training, special education, and my experience in the workplace. But I realize if I really want to impact kids' lives, I can go through the moms because they're the ones who really set the stage and have such a tremendous impact on a child's, you know, emotional health, physical health, all of it. You know, the mom really sets the stage. Dad does too, but we felt like we had a real opportunity to reach moms in our area. And so when I started recording, and I love to study, I'm not a specialist. I am not an expert. I'm an analyst. I'm fascinated by family. And so I study and read, and I look at trends that are in schools and in communities. And then I look and see if I can find any research on that trend, anything to explain the trend. If it's a good trend, what can we find to do more of that? If it's a negative trend, then what can we do to kind of reverse that trend? And then I filter it through scripture and then teach. And we say, you know, laughter is definitely underrated. We are funny. We are not sarcastic. We don't poke fun at husbands or teenagers. We laugh at ourselves. We take the responsibility, but not ourselves too seriously. So I started doing the teaching and we started recording it and we just put it up online for people if they wanted to use it. And we just got amazing feedback. And so then we took a season. Well, God provided a season, 2020, where we could press, we could streamline and get everything, all the sessions up, blocked into courses and curriculum. So if you want to find out anything more about Fearless Mom or, you know, check out any of our resources, you can go to fearlessmom.com. And then our Instagram, you can get to all of it, the podcast and the e-courses and curriculum. You can get to all that through fearlessmom.com. And so some churches use our curriculum and programs they already have. Some churches use it and they do a full-on Fearless Mom program. Some, you know, people just gather groups in their home and do the studies together. It's been amazing what technology has allowed us to do. And so my heart is children. My heart is families. And I truly believe that we can have such an impact on the world if we equip moms to enjoy parenting. There is so much hope out there.
So let me I need to correct myself because three times on this episode, I've said Fearless Moms. So it's Fearless Mom. And I have to say that because you would not believe the people that call our church Citizens Church.
Oh, yeah.
Citizen Church. And even, I mean, they'll say it 20 times in one sentence. I'm like, how do you not know the name of our church? The same way I said Fearless Moms. So if you're looking it up, I mean, you can also Google Julie Richard. It's like Richard, but you pronounce it Richard, and Fearless Mom, singular.
Yeah, fearlessmom.com. But probably if you looked up Fearless Moms, I actually don't know what would come up, but probably, it would pop up. But when we're addressing a group, we'll say we have a group of Fearless Moms, you know.
See, it's not me. I'm sure I heard that on the episode I watched.
You probably did.
I've heard you speak in large breakout sessions at conferences. I've been to several, and I just sit mesmerized really because of the information that you have, you know, absorbed in your brain. Blows me away that you can just rattle it off. So one of the episodes I was listening to, and I was specifically looking for joy and laughter and all that, because you've got episodes on everything. I mean, all points of parenting. And I do want to stress to people that are listening, you may not be a parent right now, or you may be past parenting and be a grandparent, or you're just there and one day, you know, you think you might have children or want to have kids. Trust me and us that you would be better served to pay attention now and put things to practice before it happens and get this in your heart and soul. But, you know, with the joy and laughter, you one of the episodes, you had talked about statistics about children when there's joy in the home or having joy in the home and creating a loving and nurturing environment. And I mean, I'm kind of putting you on the spot, but can you just talk a little bit to why is it so important? Because there are people listening thinking, okay, that's fine to have joy and laughter. But when they come in and they're sassy or they haven't done their homework, or they, you know, lie to me. I mean, so why joy? Why laughter?
That's a great question, actually. And I want to address that when you say when they come in sassy or when they aren't obeying. The most questions I get, and most parents just want to know, you know, help me stop this behavior. Tell me I need to know discipline. Help me. And most of us parent toward our pet peeves. And so whatever your pet peeve is, that's probably what your kid is doing. Driving you crazy. And so most parents are trying to figure out discipline. And so I talk a lot about discipline and what it actually means. But no matter the issue, no matter the age of your child, actually, this transcends just parenting. Any relationship is built on a foundation of trust. Mm-hmm. And so laughter and joy together builds trust. But if you are talking about parenting and you are wanting to discipline, but that's our job, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he won't depart from it. We embrace the responsibility of teaching and training, directing and correcting. All of that is done on a foundation of trust. All of it is done based on relationship, because rules without relationship build resentment and rebellion. But rules with relationship build responsibility and respect. And that's what we want to do. So really, you know, I'll have moms go, you know, I'm just not funny, or that's just not who I am. And that's okay. It is actually in our home a lot naturally. Mac is funny. I come from a funny family. So we tend to laugh perhaps a little too much sometimes. We probably need to reel it in. But all kids need play and laughter, and they need order and routine. And odds are you drift toward one or the other. But no matter your drift, we have to acknowledge kids need both. And adults need both. We all need play and laughter and order and routine. And so acknowledge your drift and say, okay, but I know I need both. So which one do I want to work on? We're always growing. We should always be growing and learning how to better ourselves, how to better, you know, whatever our responsibilities are. But laughter and joy is huge in building trust with our kids and in just creating a home where our kids walk in and take a deep breath. I'm home, I'm safe, and I like it here. And that's what we want. I want them to get off the bus and think, I'm home, I'm safe, I like it here. When they go off to college, I want them to come in. They're not maybe dropping their backpack off the bus anymore, but they're dropping their duffel bag. I'm home, I'm safe, I like it here. And then ideally, they come in with grandchildren and they drop the diaper bag and say, I'm home, I'm safe, I like it here. And laughter does a huge job in building that foundation and creating that feeling in your home. And so we are big, big believers. And the statistics show that even parents feel like they are more effective in their parenting if there has been laughter in the home. We know that playing games, parents feel, I think in particularly men, feel like, okay, I did something now to contribute to the parenting. I've done a good job parenting. We want to feel like what we're doing is working. And so when you are playing a game together, you tend to, whether you realize or not, think, okay, I can do this. I'm doing this parenting thing. And so games are really important, and they provide so much opportunity for laughter. And then we model for our kids, you know, how to laugh at ourselves. That's so important. But just the physical and emotional, you know, benefits of laughter, it literally improves your heart health. There are all kinds of things. And studies show that it improves brain health. And if your kid is, you know, struggling with academics, are you building in some laughter before they do their homework? Research shows that they actually can think academically better after a period of laughter. And so they're all kind of practical reasons we should implement it. But I think if we take a step back, it's pretty much common sense that life is better with a little laughter, but we have to work on it.
Yes. Why do you think? Because I'm just thinking of different scenarios and probably me in my own life. But why do you think that as parents, we might have an aversion? So it's really easy, I have found, to laugh with grandchildren. It's like this, talk about a breath of fresh, because you're not really responsible. You get to do, I mean, we have to do some correction because some of our grandchildren are at our house a lot and they have been over the last, you know, years. But we can, it's different with them. It's just different. But so if someone's a parent and they have an aversion to, like, you know, if I let my guard down,
yeah,
I'm not going to be the captain or the sergeant anymore. If I let my guard down, they're not going to see me as the one in charge. They're going to think they can run over me, because it's counterintuitive, sort of, to think.
I got it.
We're going to, and I know how you feel about all this. I've heard you speak.
Yeah.
It's not that we're saying, okay, we're all just going to be best buddies. You run a tight ship. I know that. You ran a tight ship.
I do. With my kids and their friends.
Yes. When they were home, ran a tight ship.
Yes, I have. For example, you know, Joe had two close friends in middle school who spent the night here all the time, but they knew the rule was don't ruin my first cup of coffee. And so if you don't straighten the den up, if you don't put dishes away at night, if I come in and there are dishes in the sink or the throw pillows are not the way I like them, I will wake you up, because you have now ruined my first cup of coffee. And so they knew, and they knew how the zipper goes on the bottom on the throw pillows, how to karate chop it. They knew all of it, Joe and his friends. And so, yeah, I run a tight ship, but we have enough laughter that balances it out. And so they knew I loved them. I was always laughing with them whenever I could. I was looking for opportunities to laugh together, to build trust, to make them the foods that they like, to have, you know, one of them was an Alabama fan. One was a Duke fan. I don't like Duke or Alabama, but I had a turban. I know.
Bless your heart. Roll Tide.
I had an Alabama turvis for one of them. I had a Duke turvis for one of them, because I said, I see you. I love you. I want you to know you're welcome here. And so we had built that foundation. We laughed a lot. We played a lot. I recognized them, but I ran a tight ship, and they knew, for the boys and the girls, but really it was mostly the boys. They had to run stop signs if they disobeyed. So I live at the end of a cul-de-sac, and there's a stop sign about 200 yards. And so if you use bad language or if you made a girl feel uncomfortable, there were several things, and they got, I would say stop sign, and they'd have to go run. So yes, I ran a tight ship, but there's so much room for laughter. And so I was looking for opportunities to laugh together, because then the discipline is much more effective. When I say discipline in this context, I mean, a correction with a negative consequence, trying to curtail the behavior. And so I think that it's so significant. And I had a lot of rules, and I believe it's our responsibility to direct and correct and train and teach. And so I take that very seriously, but there's a lot of time that we don't take advantage of. The time in the car, we're all together. And so my rule was, you know, we'll do something together. We'll listen to something together. We will, and even other kids at my house, I have a basket for their cell phones. So when they came in my house, they knew they dropped them. Otherwise, we're not connecting. We're not building any sort of relationship. And I would say to my kids' friends, like, oh, do you have your phone in my kitchen? Cause this is my space. And when you're in here, I feel like we're together, but I can see that we're really not. So if you want to drop it in the basket, that's fine. If you want to be on your phone, that's fine. I had an area where you could be on your phone, and that way nobody thinks we're not trying to connect with you. I'm not opposed to that. But if you're in here, this is our space to connect.
You know, the things you said a few minutes ago, and you said, when they walk in your home, you want them to say, I'm home. What is it? I'm home. I'm safe.
I'm home. I'm safe. I like it here.
And I'm just, as you're talking, I'm thinking, if truly we could master that, then the correction and the guidance would come a lot easier, because they feel safe. you know, they feel safe. I think, like you said, trust, that all is so important, because I know there were times that my sons, we have three grown sons now, but when they were middle school and high school, I'm sure there were times they didn't like it here.
Because it reminded them,
but it reminded them that she is going to ask if we've done our homework, and she is going to, you know, see if we break curfew, I'm the one that's going to come down on the rules. And I know there are times they didn't think they liked it here, but because they trusted us as parents and felt safe, they were willing to put themselves in that place to accept. And they're thankful for, obviously now they're all married and they have their own children, and we have 9 grandchildren, and they range in ages from 3 to 20. So there's the whole spectrum of what these, my sons and their wives, you know, with, but I feel like that's so important. And this one, you know, podcast can't wrap up everything about how to build trust in your home. But I'm saying this is just to get, I want to whet people's appetite to go on and do your curriculum and stuff too, because true confession. I don't like games. I don't like to play games. When we go to people's house and they bring out games, I think that's Mac. I'm like, this is such a waste of my time. A game? Like, let's talk. And they'll, so what we have tried on our big family vacation when we go to Alabama every year, we have bought games now because the tendency is everybody divide and go in another room after dinner, and we don't see anymore. So that's what we love. We just did a family cruise, and that's what we loved about it, is we had the same entertainment every night. You know, we all went to the same show. And we
together shared experience.
Nobody really bought a cell phone package, you know, so people were not on their phone all the time. It was the most amazing vacation I think we've ever had, that we just had. But all that to say, my mind's just going so fast thinking, you know, every little bit of what you're saying is not just an anecdote. It truly is life-changing. You've just given a wealth in those three things. I'm home, I'm safe, I'll make it here.
There's no amount of laughter that's going to make your child go, oh, mom, I see you have my best interest in mind. I am going to receive this correction and change my behavior immediately. You know what? I'm going to go ahead and ground myself an extra week. That's just not going to happen. But that's okay. That's not our job. Our job is to build a foundation of trust and then layer in correction and consequences. And, you know, discipline is not just addressing the negative. Discipline is also praising the positive. We look for when they're doing what we want them to do. We praise as much as we can. We celebrate, you know, when they are doing well. But it's just part of the job. And building the foundation of trust is mission critical. And especially if you are in a stage where you're maybe your preteen or teen, maybe your adult child, you're on different pages and you're thinking to yourself, you know, I don't even like my child. Number one, I want to tell you, you're not alone. Number two, find something to connect with your child about, whether it is a game they like, a team they like, you know, a hobby they like. Work on the relationship. The other stuff will come. It'll take care of itself when you have time. But if you're thinking, you know, our relationship is just really shoddy right now, then work on it. Do what you can do to build the relationship.
You know, because that's what you just said, build. I'm thinking about even, you know, when my son is our pastor now, Dustin, but when he's, a lot of times he preaches and he'll say, as Christians even, we're not here to burn bridges. We're there to build them. And so that's what we have to remember as parents and grandparents too. If there is a relationship with a child or grandchild or a sibling, you know, one of our own siblings or whatever, we're meant to, as Christians, we're meant to build bridges. And like you said, find the common thing, find something. We have to, and you don't build a bridge overnight, just like the bridge doesn't fall down overnight. So we're building, you know, piece by piece, 2x4x2x4 to get the bridge back to our child. But that's the parent's responsibility. It's not our responsibility to chase this down. We have to be
big. You know, Mac did not come home and go, you know what I've been thinking all day? I want to play Candyland. I mean, that's not him either. But he knew, okay, this is foundational for what is to come. He saw purpose in it. And so when we played T-ball outside, you know, girls against boys, when you know, it wasn't like that was super fun for Mac or, you know, but he did it because there was purpose in it. And I think particularly as parents, if you are one who does not like games, that's okay. You go, this is foundational. If you can see the purpose in it and the why behind it, then you will find it so worthwhile. And again, it's not going to prevent every, you know, disagreement, but it just is kind of the glue that brings everybody back together.
It lightens the mood.
Oh, for sure.
There's so many things in raising children that can damper a mood.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, toddlers, elementary, middle school, you want a mood damper, get you a good middle schooler, right? Yeah. They know everything, but they know nothing. And then high school, but they can, and it's not, it's just life and changing and growing. So to lighten the mood and to be willing to push through and do that. So which is a great segue. So we both are Christ followers. We're Christians. And so for, you know, there are a lot of parenting books and podcasts and ideas out there, but a lot of them don't include the thing that we feel is so important, which is the whole aspect of faith, our faith in Christ, that it's the role faith plays. And there, so if you're following someone, if someone's listening, they're following a parenting guru or marriage or anything, and they're not faith-based, find another one, because there's the whole God and Holy Spirit thing that really can lead and guide and direct us when we really don't feel like we can do it. So how do you feel about the role that faith plays in our parenting?
Well, you mentioned earlier that having your kid, your grandchildren over, you're able to laugh a lot more. And I think part of that is because as moms, when you were a mom, you felt the weightiness of parenting. We say that when you really consider what motherhood is, the responsibility, you know, the appropriate response is to throw up in your mouth a little bit, you know? And so we say, swallow it, spit it out, and keep going, because it is a lot, you know, it's a pretty big responsibility. And so there's fear, you know, our verse is, you know, she is clothed with strength and dignity, and she laughs without fear of the future. And she's clothed in leggings and a t-shirt, and she laughs. Sometimes she laughs to keep from crying. So it is overwhelming. That is a natural and normal response to the responsibility. But when we have faith, we can know Romans 8:28, God causes all things to work together for the good of those who believe in him and are called according to his purposes. So I know, number one, I'm going to make mistakes. So I know that God's going to use my mistakes, even my seasons of mistakes, for his glory and my good, for the good of my children. I know that God is going to use my children's mistakes for his glory and for their good. And so it gives me a perspective. So when I am a person of faith, I know, okay, God has called me to this. He chose me to be this child's mom. He will give me what I need. And people who say, like, God's not going to give you more than you can handle, well, that's, you know, a sweet sentiment and not accurate. Sure. It is definitely beyond what we can do. But again, a person of faith goes, okay, I'm serving the Almighty God, the Creator God. He created me with certain gifts and talents, strengths and weaknesses. Laughter, for instance, maybe you're thinking, well, he didn't give me that gift or that natural ability, or I didn't grow up in a home that's laughter. Okay, but we know he'll give you what you need to do now. Yes. And so if he chose that child, you are exactly the mom that child needs. I've had a mom say to me before, like, I'm not the right kind of mom for my son. And I said, but you are. God chose you. You are exactly the mom that your child needs. So a faith perspective gives you confidence in that. And a faith perspective says, I'm going to make mistakes, but they're not wasted. God will use them. And a faith perspective says, you know what? There is a long-term purpose for what I'm doing now. Yes. And so I think it just changes the way we look at everything. I think it just shifts your perspective when you stand on that foundation.
It really does. And because hopefully, you know, as a Christian, I'm listening to the voice of God. I'm listening to the gentle nudging of the Holy Spirit when I'm in a situation or about to have a family meeting with my, with when they were kids growing up or older, that I really think, okay, I have this plan, but God, I'm going to listen to you. So that if you change our plan or help me to say the right words, because the last thing any of us want in a relationship is to be misunderstood. I think for me, you know, I think, oh, they didn't get, they didn't, you know, they didn't receive that the way I meant that to come out. And I don't want to be misunderstood. But you said earlier in this podcast that, you know, and you said, and I've listened to you teach, if you mess up as a parent and you know, you totally, you know, missed the mark with, you know, you're in a bad mood or you didn't correct something correctly, or you just were, then the good thing is if we do what we should do, what we're taught even in scripture is we would go to our children and say, and you have, you say this so eloquently. So tell us, how do you apologize to your child without thinking you're going to be stepped on?
Well, I think forgiveness is so significant. Actually, there's a series, and I can't remember what year I did it or what curriculum it's in, what course, but it's a big deal. One of them is laughter and one of them is forgiveness. And so I believe forgiveness is significant, and we have an opportunity to model it for our children when we make a mistake. There's no if, when we make a mistake. And so I would go to my child and I would say, I'm sorry that I lost my temper. I'm sorry that I yelled, which is going to be my most common apology. I'm sorry that I yelled at you. It was okay for me to be frustrated, but how I handled it mattered. And so I did not handle it correctly. So that way you're again affirming any feelings okay to feel, but how you handle it matters. And I can control it. We don't ever say in Fearless Mom, like, well, I can't help it. Yes, you can. That's what the Holy Spirit's for. And if you look at the fruit of the Spirit, He will give you what you need. The last one mentioned is self-control. And so it's a pretty significant one.
I've heard you. Okay. So what's wonderful about what you just said to us as parents, it's the same expectation you have for the child. So, because I've heard you tell moms, parents, how to, when a child loses their temper, and I think about, that's probably a story with Emily, I can't remember, but your daughter, the stories you've had. And we've used, I mean, I've my daughter-in-law, Mandy, used what you said to her one time in this way, when one of her children was, you know, pitching a fit or losing their temper. What you just modeled, what you said a parent should do, that's what you're going to ask of that child, to do the same thing.
Yes.
You've had your children throw a temper tantrum or be mad, ticked off because you didn't do something right. And you would say to them,
I can see that you're upset, but how you handle it matters. So let's talk about now in the time, if I have a 3-year-old or a 2-year-old having a tantrum, I'm not going to go into it then. Because at that point, if you want to get into the neuroscience, they're all amygdala. There's no prefrontal cortex of logic or reason and try, you know, so I'm going to acknowledge it and get them to, the younger they are, just have to remove them for the situation. Then I'll circle back and I'll say, tell me what happened. You know, how were you feeling? Okay, you were upset. It makes sense to me that you were upset. You didn't get the ice cream that you thought you were going to get. I see that. Now, is it okay to yell at mom? It is not. So you'll have consequences. You can't blah, blah, blah. Or maybe the consequence was you didn't get the ice cream. And so now let's talk about how you would handle it next time. And so you could say, take a breath. Mom, I'm upset. I didn't want to leave. Can we stay for 2 more minutes? And so it's just stuff like that, where we acknowledge, we say, validate, separate, educate, validate the feeling, separate the feeling from the behavior. Those are two different things. You can be angry. You can be frustrated. You can be sad. You can be mad. You can all the feelings. That's okay. Behavior, there's appropriate and inappropriate, and we have to figure that out.
So good.
Yeah, and then educate on how to handle it. But again, I am going to give some negative consequences or some kind of training, not in every situation. Sometimes I use the wisdom and discernment God's given me that I pray for constantly to say, you know what? I understand that you were upset and we're not going to do that again. Do you understand? Okay. And next time, if you do it, then this is what will happen. Let's make sure we're on the same page. Then I try to recognize triggers for my kids And so then I'm going to plan before. So maybe if the last three times we've been to the park, the big tantrum you've noticed is when you say to get in the car. So then we're going to do some training before we go into the park. Okay. So when I say it's time to leave, let's practice how you're going to respond. You're going to say, yes, ma'am, and go to the car, right? Even if you're feeling frustrated, even if you're feeling sad, you're thinking, wait, I know what I need to do. I can say yes, ma'am, and go to the car. So we do the training before, and then you really recognize when they do what you've asked, and you praise, you know, twice as much as you would give a negative consequence.
I guess parenting is the most rewarding. It's a very rewarding role, but it's also the hardest. One of the quotes I heard you, I wrote it down and it's in quotes, so I know you said it. You said, nothing else has made me experience such love, joy, exhaustion, self-doubt, all at the same time.
It's a cornucopia of feelings. It's all the things all at once. And really, you can, my series that I'm teaching coming up is called It's a Dance. And I said, just when you've got the rhythm figured out, the song changes. That's what,
yes.
You know, that go through different developmental changes. And that's the fun. And I think, you know, it's what makes it fun. It's what makes it exhausting. It's what makes it rewarding. It's what makes it, you know, so like it just beats you up, you know, any self-esteem you had before, you know, it's just drained.
It's all that. And, you know, you just open up such, so many ideas for people to ponder. And you truly have been saying these things all the years I've known you. This is not something you just pulled together. This has been your mantra, these sayings, these tips you give. This is how you truly flesh it out. And you have this is a gift. Not only is your humor and joy a gift, I believe, but you've used it in parenting and, you know, being a spouse, and you're going to be the most awesome grandma. I'm not sure what they're going to call you, but you're going to.
I can't wait. I don't know what they're going to call me either, but I can't wait.
And I didn't care. I'm like, just call me. Just call me. And I love that. I love everything about it. But and I love that being a parent. We loved every season of parenthood. Yeah. It was live. It was a different song, but we tried to learn the dance quickly. And some parents have a better rhythm than others.
And we step on each other's toes quite a bit.
We do that. This time goes by really quick. And I want to just talk for like 3 days with you. But I love to end podcasts with tips, practical tips, because, you know, when we hear something that's so motivating and the speaker just stops, we're like, yeah, but what do I do next? What do I do if I, you know, what should I do? So three tips or two, whatever you have, daily practices that would help, you know, people listening, whether they're parents or not parents, but maybe they have children of all ages, they don't have them yet, but practical tips to infuse laughter and joy.
I love that. I love it because I believe joy and laughter, you can make an intentional decision. We say all the time in Fearless Mom, we don't want to add to your already long to-do list. We just want to help you be intentional with what you're already doing. So think about already your daily routine and your daily rhythms. We're just going to try to work it into what you're already doing. So if you're a person, you're thinking, well, you know, I've been feeling down lately. We say, check your big five. You know, are you eating right? Are you drinking a lot of water? Are you getting enough sleep? Are you moving? And are you praying? And then are you laughing? We add that one in. So eating and drinking go together. So are you eating and drinking right? Are you moving? Are you sleeping enough? You know, are you praying and are you laughing? So check first. So evaluate where you are, how much laughter you have in your life. And then second, during the pandemic, we said, my husband and I, we will watch a funny show every day. Every day we will watch a sitcom. And so we've dug back into the archives, old, you know, now on Netflix and everything, you can find all the old ones. And so we watch a funny show every day. It's the last thing we watch together. And we've continued doing it for whatever we, you know, 4 years in now. So we choose to watch a funny show, no matter how the day is gone, no matter what time we get home, no matter what time we're going to bed, we watch at least one episode of a funny show every single night. And so that's been a huge one. And then we are intentional. If you, I'm not a stand-up comedy person, but my husband is, but there are some great, clean stand-up comedy, you know, people out there, comedians. What do you say if it's a girl? Leanne Morgan.
We went to see her in September. It was like, I don't know, 2,000 women and 20 men.
Yes.
Funniest night. I would travel to go see her anywhere.
Anywhere. And I never would have done that before, but we went to see Leanne Morgan, and you can watch her online, her specials. So Leanne Morgan, we went with another couple, and then we went to Nate Bargatze. Also another funny one, pretty clean. And then Jim Gaffigan is also pretty clean. So look those up. So maybe it's not a part of your daily life, or you don't feel like laughter is a part of you. Find something that makes you laugh and watch it, and watch it together if you're married. Because laughing together, you know, we're talking about building that relationship of trust with your child. But man, it is good for couples. It is good for couples to laugh together. And so I would say then, last thing, super easy. It's not necessarily laughter, but it does change your perspective if you start your day and end your day with gratitude. List three things you're grateful for, beginning of the day, the end of the day, and then sandwich, you know, the laughter in between. It's like an Oreo.
I love that. I love gratitude changes.
Yes. We could do a whole nother podcast, because that is the other big deal. And there's so much research about gratitude, and not just feeling gratitude, but expressing gratitude. Those are two different things. So when we think, you know, okay, the three things I'm grateful for, if there's an opportunity to express to someone that you're grateful for them or something that they've done, that takes it to a whole nother level for you as well as for them. It's a whole nother podcast, Kay.
And when I feel the most snarky, which it happens, it can, I don't know. I mean, I probably not the normal, but it can just rise up in me, the snarkiness. But if I stop a minute, go, wait a minute, why am I doing that? I have, you know, our student ministries last night, I was there because it was a big event, and the last song was Gratitude. That song, I love it so much. And I'm sitting there thinking, if we just were grateful, but the expressing, you're right, it's a whole other podcast to be able to express to someone. And when you think it, act on it. And if you can't, because it
really, send a text, write a note, you know.
It's life-changing to me when someone does that for me. And I really try to do that. But I'm sad that the time is over. But Julie, my goodness, I knew this would be special. I knew it from the second I wrote your name because you've always added so much value to me. And you've been to our church. You've been to Citizen Church. You have
spoken. Love your church.
You and Mac have spoken at our church. And we just love your family. And we love when we get to see you. But I just, you know, want to say thank you. And if someone's listening, watching, again, it's fearlessmom.com. And
great.
So much information. You can, you know, add this to your listening, what you do when you're driving every day. And I really feel like it can change your life. And I want to know if people have experience when they apply these principles. I'd love for you guys to message me so I can let Julie know. Message Julie, let us know when you've used this tips and you see a change, or the change will happen with us, whether it happens with our children or our spouses right away, it will happen with us first.
But that's so true. We say all the time, you're a fountain. Picture yourself as a fountain, and your children are drinking your overflow. So what are you spewing? And so if you're overwhelmed by parenting, you're not alone. Work on yourself. I'm going to incorporate laughter into my life, and it will naturally overflow into my kids' lives.
So amazing. Julie, thank you for joining me on Table Talks today. And I can't wait to just hear all the amazing outcomes from this.
You're so sweet. Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining me.
Thank you for joining me today on Table Talks. For more content and information about upcoming episodes, please visit my website at kaywoodward.com. You can also explore other podcast links and resources there. Until next time.